All our visitors that may be with us this morning, you're very welcome to be here, and please come back again, and if you can't, pray for us. I believe today is St. Patrick's Day. Is that right? Okay. Well, the old Irish proverb says, may your wallet be heavy and your burdens be light. All right. Turn with me to 107.
Thank you, Brother Randall. Thank you for the good songs. I don't lead singing very often, and you don't want me to, I'll be honest. But I always like to get the request to go in too, but most time I can wing it. If I can't, I know there's enough people in the congregation that usually can. So I'm just thankful for those that are willing to be good song leaders. Is what I am, and I appreciate anyone that leads singing. I appreciate anyone that will try and do their best. I said I led singing some. When I first told that I was called to preach, Brother Bowie Massey, he was Cap Massey's son. Some of the older ones will recognize that name, but he told us young preachers, he said, now, you better get where that you can lead singing. He said, you may go to a church sometime and there will not be a song leader there. And you'll have to do the singing part. And he was right. I did that for one occasion for a mission work. I did that for probably several months before we had a man that came to started coming to that mission work that could lead singing. And I appreciated him very much. The piano player Denton, because you've heard of walking preachers. He was a walking song leader. And when I say he was a walking song leader, the piano was over here on this side. And the next thing you know, he might be back yonder in the very back, coming around this side, coming around here, as he was leading singing. Well, that's enough foolishness for now. Let's get down to business today. We are glad to see each and every one here, and we are thankful for you being here today. We just pray that we can all be blessed today in this service. I've heard about good things already today. I got to see a little girl last night. Different ones were saying during the service to her, "I heard good news out of you." And so as I was leaving last night, she was back at the back of the church house, and somebody mentioned it again. I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "What happened to you?" She said, "I got saved," is what she did. And just a big smile on her face, and I was glad for her to get the opportunity to tell about being saved. And that's something that we all need to take the opportunity to do from time to time. And my thoughts was, I'm getting anxious to see somebody saved here. Amen. I hope we all are. I'm wanting to see somebody. Used to I called it being hungry to see somebody saved. You know, when you get hungry, you start looking. You start searching. You start wanting things. And you start requesting. We request to go get something particular to eat sometimes. And God likes us to be particular in our prayers. If you want to see somebody saved, start talking to the Lord about it. He's the one that can answer the prayer. Now, I'm going to stop right there. We're glad to see everybody here today. We want to get into our children's church at this time. Brother Sam, if you would.
Y'all look really sleepy. Here comes the Energizer Bunny. I wish I had that kind of enthusiasm. And very good. Here we go. All right, we're gonna find out how good of a session we had last week. Who can tell me what the topic was last week? I must not be very effective. I'm going to have to resign or get an appointment. We talked about the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not do what? Tell a lie. Right? I believe that's what it was. Was that it? That was it, wasn't it? Surely I didn't fail my own test. Right. So we talked about that commandment. How many were there in that set that God gave Moses? How many are there? 10. Finally. We got somebody that's paying attention. 10 commandments, right? There are 10 commandments, all right? And are they still good today, Ben? They're still valid, aren't they, right? Because God is still God and man is still man. But do you think they have only 10 commandments down at City Hall? I heard a jeer over here. I think you're right. I think the stack is about this tall and about this wide. And if you go downtown or even, you know, online, there's a book called The Tennessee Code Annotated. Can y'all say that? TCA, Tennessee Code Annotated. It tells you what you can and cannot do and the punishment if you don't do that. So there's all kind of laws, you know, and those laws are there for people that do wrong. If you do right, you don't need a law, right, Ben? That's right. But I tell you what, listen close. Man is inventing every day what he can do wrong. Yes. There is no end to it. And so as long as there's no end to that, there'll be no end to somebody making a law against that. Are we clear? We good? We right? I go back to this, though. Here we go. Listen to this. If everybody here in Rutherford County, Tennessee, the United States, the world followed the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't need a stack of laws this wide, this tall. Because it all boils down to that. Those 10 simple things. The first four is relationship between God and us. Why did God make us? He wanted to have relationship with us. Relationship meaning, you know, dialogue and understanding. The fifth one is how you treat your mom and dad. And the other five are about how we treat each other. That's all we need to know. At the end of the day, after all is said and done, here we go. Listen to me. Follow what Tennessee says about everything. But at the backdrop, always make sure you have the Ten Commandments at heart.
Amen.
All of them. If you do that, you'll get along well with everybody. And we should expect that from everybody as well. Right, Cohen? That's right. He knows that. So, not only do we not want to lie, but we don't want to steal, we don't want to kill, and all the rest of it. So, keep that in mind. So, God put that in there to have that understanding. So, your understanding is what He says. Keep in mind what the law says as far as man and Tennessee and the United States.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's always the Ten Commandments. That's all I had to say. You can leave. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. We appreciate the reminder about the Ten Commandments. And it's good for all of us to live by. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Lord, help. Let's do remember these prayer requests. We want all of them to be answered, the Lord. So please keep them on your heart. Somebody else?
Brother Rick.
Yes, sir.
Please pray for my child, Brian, at home. She's scheduled for another one of those surgeries on April 1st.
Okay. Remember Sister Linda in our prayer. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another. And let's pray that the Lord will bless our service today. As I said earlier, I pray the Lord would see fit to save a soul. To see a soul saved, they've got to be drawn by the Lord. We can't save them. We can't even get them there. We need the Lord to do the drawing. But we can pray the Lord will draw them to Him. And that's what I want us to do. Let's pray that the Lord will draw these lost ones to Him. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way is what we'll ask you to do. We just ask that God would help us in this prayer. Everybody, let's pray, please.
All right. In the gray book, it's number 54.
Thank you.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. My dad used to say, if that's the worst thing I ever do, I'll be all right. Precious that we're able to go to our Lord and trust in His Word. All right. A new name in glory. Number 12 in the Blue Book. But thank you.
Appreciate you leading the singing this morning. Appreciate each and every one being here today. I appreciate the good singing. Don't get me wrong about this. I do. But there's times when a preacher is sitting here and you sing, and it's like, y'all got to let me get up here. Years ago, I didn't get to witness. I heard about it. There was a preacher at a service, and they just kept singing. And he kept fidgeting. And they sung another song, and he was fidgeting more. And that's kind of the way I was getting today. I was wanting to get up here. Y'all pray that this message will be what the Lord wants it to be. I pray that we can just be found doing what the Lord would have us to do today in this service. I'm going to take my reading lesson from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. Quick history. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. That'll make it easier for you to find. It's a short book. It was written by Jeremiah. And it basically tells a lot of his sorrows of his ministry in a lot of ways, is what it does. But there's good instructions in there also. And so today our feeling is that we need to go to the third chapter of Lamentations, and we're going to start reading with the 19th verse, and I asked you to read along with us. It says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath then still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." That's reading verses 19 through 26 today of our reading lesson. I'm going to tell you my thought first of all, and then I'm going to kind of go back through these verses right quickly again to give a little bit better understanding. What is hope? Yeah, there's a little girl back there by the name of Hope, yeah. But that's not what I'm talking about today. It's not her. But what is hope? I want you to look at these verses again with us, and then we're going to define what hope is in this message today. And because that's the actual title of the message, it's hope. Looking back at this, remembering mine afflictions. A lot of people wants to know, what kind of afflictions are you talking about? The affliction here actually was talking about depression, sadness, sorrow is what it's talking about. I can remember myself when that I was lost and undone from God, I had sadness, I was sorrowful, I had great affliction, and the longer I went, the greater those afflictions growed, the more sorrow that I had. And there's only one way of getting rid of that affliction. Listen, as we go farther, he says, "And my misery." That misery is an outcast. That's what it's talking about, being an outcast, a destitute, lacking something. When I was lost and away from God, I was in misery. I was an outcast. Maybe not among my friends, not among the people of the church, but I knew that I was outcast away from God. I was standing off to a distance from Him. And because of that, I wanted to be back where I needed to be. I wanted to be close to God. The fact that I was destitute,
That meant that I was so alone, that I was in so much trouble at that time, that I felt that it was just me alone. And no one could help me at that moment in time. And even what I had to figure out was I just couldn't do it by myself. Lacking something, that is the point where there is a hollow spot. There is a place inside of you where that you know that there is something missing. You realize within yourself that you need something really, really bad inside of you. If you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you realize that there was a point in time when there was a hole there, and when the Lord saved you, He just filled up that spot. And He's still there to this very day. Looking on, He said, and the wormwood and the gall, that's something we don't talk about today, but it's like a poison, both of them are. And truthfully, sin is a poison within your body, within your soul. It is a poison that is slowly killing you. It is slowly taking your life away from you. It is slowly taking your happiness away from you, is exactly what it is doing. He said, skip the verse. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I want you to understand, David was writing this looking back at a point in time where that he was so destitute, so miserable, so much in affliction that he was writing down his thoughts. Many times we as saved individuals, when we are talking about our salvation, we tell about that trouble that we was in. And here we remember what that was like. And we explain it in our own ways. You may have different ways of describing how that you may have been scared. You might have been so afraid at that moment in time. You might have felt so alone in that moment in time. You may have been one of those ways, but you just remember that. And it is for a purpose that you remember these things. It is so that when the ones around you that have not been saved yet, you remember those things and you say those things to let them know that they're really and truly not by themselves. Most sinners feel like at that moment in time, right before that they get saved, they feel like nobody else has gone through this. But I want you to know something. I went through it. I guarantee you there's people in this congregation that went through it. I've heard them talk about it. And you're not alone, and you can find the Lord. Listen, what it says, and he humbled himself. He says, I am humbled. And what that word means is bowed down. Now, being bowed down does not necessarily meaning coming down to this bench here and getting on your knees and calling upon God. Being bowed down means inside of yourself, you bow yourself before the Almighty God. I'm going to say today that if we met somebody that was a great dignitary, we would have respect unto that person. We would have such a respect to them. If we had the opportunity to meet them, we would almost bow ourselves. We would give them respect. We would show to them the very best ability of how much we wanted to meet that individual is what we would do. Now, as we continue on, and it says, This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Whoo, that's good, isn't it? To have hope in the Lord. It is proper for each and every one of us who has been saved to recall it in our minds. I think about the song that we sing from time to time. We call it the Days of the Week song. We call it Glory, Glory, Glory. But in that song, we remember the time in which that we are saved. And we are blessed to remember that. The other song that I like to sing is I Can Tell You the Time. I Can Take You to the Place. And I recall that every time that I sing one of those songs, I remember them songs in myself, because that it gives me hope. Not one of just wanting it to happen, but knowing that one of these days I'm going to be there. Listen again. It is of God's mercy that we are not consumed, because he of his compassion faileth not, is what it says. Listen, it's because that God loves every one of us that he has not consumed us already. And you might say, consumed, what are you talking about? It would be easy for God to look upon this world and to see all the sin and the troubles that are going on. It would be easy for him to look upon it and just say, never mind, you're not worthy of salvation. You're not worthy of being born into the family of God. I'm just going to destroy this place right here and now, and it's done. But he has love for you today. I want you to know that today. It's because of not just love, but it's of his pure compassion. Compassion is love, yes, but it is a tender love. It is a desiring love in which that he wants to draw you in into him. And my friends, you that are lost today, it is because of God's love that you have the opportunity today to be born into the family of God. And that means you fully trusting in the Savior's love. Going on, he says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, it's new every morning when I get up. I've slept over the night, but it's not long till the Lord reminds me as I'm getting up that his mercies is pleading with me and gracious to me. And it's proven time and time again how his compassion shows up in my life. And I'll say to those that are lost and away from God today, it is because of great God's compassion that you have another day in which to seek the Lord. Now he says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Read it on. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly, it says, wait for the salvation of the Lord. I want you to remember something. As I said a while ago, David was writing this as a recollection of about when that the Lord had saved his soul, when that he had brought him through the afflictions, the troubles, and the sorrow of these things. And what he said there, it is good that a man should both hope and wait quietly, or quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Right quickly, that word salvation there, how we tend to think of it, it is the restoring of our soul. It is. We tend to think of it as being the goodness of God coming into us, and it is. It is the peace of God, and it is. But what that word salvation here really means is rescued. Rescued is what he says unto us today. We are a rescued people. You might think, well, I don't need to be rescued. What do I need to be rescued from? I'm going to tell you there is people out there today who really do not realize the danger that they're in. I'm talking about physically and I'm talking about spiritually. There's people out there today, and you see the stories on the news about women and children that are being abused time to time, and we think of, oh Lord, how horrible that would be. And the women and children, they don't see any difference in it. They just think it's normal. But you know, there's a lot of spiritual people, souls that are lost and undone from God. And you know what they're doing? They don't realize they need to be rescued. But you know something today? You need to be rescued from that affliction, from that trouble, those sorrows, from all of that misery, from that poison. If you had ingested a poison or something like that, you know what you'd do? You come up in front of us, you say, I need to go to the doctor. I took this poison in. I need my stomach pumped. I need you to carry me quickly. Call 911 or something like that. But truthfully, those that are lost and away from God, they are in much more danger than a person that is minutes away from death. Because Jesus told them, he said, don't fear me, people who can destroy man's life, but fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah, that's what you need to be rescued from. I want you to get that in your heart today. I want you to put it up here in your mind and think about that. I'm in danger of a devil's hell. I'm in danger of being destroyed by an almighty God who is angry because that I did not trust in him. Oh, that's what it comes down to. Now I want you to listen to a verse. David writes this in the 25th chapter of the book of Psalms, and I want to use this right now. Because many people will say, I don't know how to get rescued. I don't know how to get saved. But he, in the 18th verse, he said, Lord, look upon affliction and my pain and forgive my sin. Now, the Lord part one, but I'm adding that to it. And it's in place there because that's who you've got to go to. You got to go to the Lord himself so that you can be rescued. You want the mightiest one to rescue you. If you're sick, if you ingested some sort of a poison, you want the best doctor here in town, don't you? You want the one that can get that poison out of you. There's no one else in this world that can take sin away from you except Jesus Christ. That's the only one today. He is the only one that can take that out of your soul today. I want you to go again with me to Psalms today in the 42nd chapter. I want you to look at a few verses here today. And it's going to kind of go harmonize with our reading lesson today. But I want you to look at first the third verse. And he said, my tears have been my meat day and night. And what that word meat means is my meal. That's what he's talking about. He said, my tears. Now, I'm going to say this right now. You don't have to be shedding tears to be saved. I was. Many people are. But the truth of the matter is, you've got to be so sorrowful inside of your soul. This is a soul work. It's not a bodily thing. Salvation is not of this body, but it's of your soul. Yes, your soul is what it's talking, what he's talking about. And what he wants you to understand is when your soul is in that great affliction, when your soul is in such of a great harm, your soul will cry out. James wrote it in his letter. He said, let your joy be turned into sorrow. He said, let your laughter be turned into tears, I think is the way. Maybe I'm misquoting a little bit, but that's what we're talking about. You're going to have to cry out in your soul. I'm going to tell you, I got so in terrible a shape and so much sorrow of my soul that it did bring forth tears from my eyes. David said, my tears were my food. He said, my tears was what was bearing me on. It was what was making me want it even more. But what he says, and I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I had went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted? And what that word disquieted means, it means such a great commotion. A commotion. We don't use that word very much these days either. But what it means, it is a strong racket. A strong calamity that is going on. He said, there was something going on inside of me that was so awful. It was so disturbing to me. He said, let me find my place here. He said, and what hope thou in God is what he said. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I want you to think this morning today. What is your hope today? For us that are saved, we have a hope. We do. Brother Chris and Brother Heather back there, they've got a little hope. I've got a hope in my family. My granddaughter is hope. But the hope that I'm talking about today is not in the name of a child. It's not a hope in that it is one in which that we're thinking, well, maybe it will happen. That's generally what we consider hope to be. But remember, our hope is an expectation. What do you expect to happen? Do you expect something great to happen? Let's take it naturally. Because the University of Tennessee won the SEC outright, the expectation was they was going to win the whole tournament. Boy, did that turn out wrong. Now, what is your expectation spiritually, though? I want you to think about that today. What is your expectation spiritually today? What are you looking for today more than anything else? Do you want to have peace? Do you want to have joy, full joy, spiritual joy? Do you want to have what? Second verse of the first chapter of Titus says this, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, he says, promised before the world began. Now notice he said, God can't lie, but he has promised us a hope of eternal life. And a lot of people said, I'm in so much misery here in this world. Why would I want to have eternal life? Because in that eternal life, in God's eternal life, it's not going to be miserable. It's not. For when we leave this world, when we leave this world and we go into a next one, it is a world of joy. It's a world of promise. It is a world of goodness. It is a world in which all things are provided for us. How many of us today look at our lives and we're stretching the dollar as far as we can go because everything keeps going on up, right? How many of us look at the ways of our life and I see this one and that one, they seem to be getting along, but we're not getting there. How many of us today are looking at our lives as being, well, maybe okay, but we're especially saying, in this world, why would I want an eternal life like this? You're not looking for that. In Hebrews 11th chapter, we had it in our Sunday school lesson today, Abraham was looking for a country. He was looking for a country. A lot of people think that he was talking about that little area they're fighting over down there in the Middle East. They think about that little area. But you know what? He wasn't looking for land here. Yeah, God had promised him that place. But it says it was a place whose builder and maker was God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. What is our hope today? Our hope today is not a home down here. Oh, I'm thankful for the house I have. I'm thankful for the home that Paula and I and the kids have. I'm thankful for the home of this church here today. I'm thankful for the home of the land that we have here. But the hope that I have is an eternal hope, one that God has promised to all that trust in His name. Whew. I'm thankful today to have an expectation, not of worldly goods, not of worldly things. I've looked at things in my lifetime that were valuable. I've looked at things and I've wished, oh, I'd love to give my family those things. But the greatest thing that I can give my family, the greatest thing that I can give you and your family is a hope, not of just this world, but of the world to come. How do we get that hope? I'm going to give you this. We're going to stay in Titus. 11th verse is where I'm going, the second chapter. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Brother Randall, I'm getting ready to wind up, by the way. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, and what that means, with a sound mind, righteously and godly in His present, in this present world. Yeah, we have a thing that we need to do here in this world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about there's coming a day. We do. A lot of people don't believe us when we talk about a blessed hope And for all of us that are saved, it's going to be such a wonderful time when we hear the trumpet sound, when we hear the great shout from heaven, and we see the heavens parting away. And in that moment of a twinkling of an eye, all of us that remain here upon earth, all of the graves have already bursted open, and they've went to meet the Lord in the air, the bodies have. The souls, they're coming with the Lord, the ones that's done went on. And all of us which remain shall be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Whew, ain't that good? That's something I look forward to. I do. John the Revelator wrote in one of the last invitations of the Bible, he said, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." He understood that the longer the Lord waited, the more souls that would burn in hell. "Even so, Lord, come quickly." Now listen to this last verse. Let me read 13 again. "Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that we might be redeemed." He paid the price, in other words, for us from our iniquities, from our sin. He took that affliction. He took that trouble. He took all of those things that bothered us inside away so much. He paid the price. "That he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You know, I'm looking forward to that day. If I die in this world, you know what? I'm not looking forward to the grave. I'm not going to be there. I'm not looking forward to the embalming. We'll back it up to that. I'm not looking forward to it. I ain't going to be there. Oh, this flesh will be there, and that's fine. I'm not looking forward to the time when I feel the sting of death, truthfully. But I don't fear it. You know why? Because I've got a hope of eternal life. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have that hope. You that are lost, though, where are you at? Well, I hope I make it. That's not expectation, is it? That's wishing. That's thinking maybe. That's thinking, well, if the Lord could just give me one more chance. But what he's trying to tell you is there's hope now. And what I want you to understand is when that the death angel comes, when that the great God of Almighty and his Son appear in the sky, what Scripture tells us, there's no more hope. And that's the wishful hope. There's no more hope. What the Bible tells us, as the tree falleth, there shall it lay. Do you understand what I'm saying today? I want you to think about it very strongly today. Especially if you have not hope, expectation. If you don't expect it today. Now, what I'm going to tell you is, if you want this salvation, you need to come to him. And then you have hope, expectation. Not wishing, not thinking maybe. You have expectation that when you call upon him, he will save your soul. That's what I did. Because in that moment of time, you know what I did?
I said, Lord, I don't want to be left alone. And he answered that prayer right then and there. Thank God he did. My hope is in the Lord today. Brother, while we sing, I'll say to the sinners, seek the Lord now. Come to the altar, seek him where you're at, is what I would ask you to do while we stand and sing.
103, the gray book.